Opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. We live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruz. If you want to call in to today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Today's a Tuesday. Normally, it's a politics day, and today will be that, too. I have Borough Assemblyman Brett Roderman in the studio with me. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
You know, there's a saying, it's better to live in interesting times, and boy, are you an assembly member in interesting times.
It's, it's always interesting times, especially as we come into the budget. It's always fun stuff. So
I've always not liked, but appreciated your calm demeanor approach to what goes on over in your building.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, you know. When I first got on, I actually got some criticism from a lot of people. So you're too quiet, you know. You need to speak more. And I don't know. I've always said when I have something to say, I'll certainly say it. But you can learn a lot by listening. And oftentimes, if you just keep your mouth shut, other people will bring up the points you're going to bring up. Maybe you didn't get credit for the quote in the paper or whatever, but
that's not the important thing, though.
That's not the important thing. I'm there to listen and make decisions, and so sometimes you got to be quiet and take it all in, and you can learn a lot by listening. You know,
the $33 million animal shelter.
It's a hot button
item. Boy.
It's a hot button item, and the timing of it is it's perfect or it's terrible. I guess it depends on how you want to look at it.
Again, it's a $33 million animal shelter.
Hot it is.
Yep.
It's a very hot button topic, and when we're talking about, you know, as we head into the budget, and obviously, you know, everybody's worried about the school district right now, and you know that heat just got cranked up a little bit since the governor's veto wasn't overrided, so. So yeah, there's a lot of people upset. Why are we closing schools, but we're building a $33 million dog shelter that only has four more kennels in it, which is true and not so true. Four more kennels, yes, but as I understand it, in times of need, those kennels can actually be divided in half if need be, so we would have some more storage. But the long and the short of it is, it's got a huge price tag on it. A lot of that price tag came with time. This thing has been apparently in the works for about 10 years. Well, as we all know, in the past only handful of years.
Since 2020 COVID, yeah.
Right. I mean, the cost of this thing has gone just through the roof. I think of the original
COVID
proposal.
COVID or Biden, whatever one you want
right,
to
whichever one you want to look at. But yeah. I think the original price tag on this building was about $17 million, and
that made everyone choke.
Right, and it very quickly doubled. It didn't take long to double. But we found that with almost everything. When I first got on the assembly, we were having to throw out a lot of stuff or send stuff back to bid because the projections, our folks weren't even close. And that's not putting down our folks that were making their best guess at what these projects were going to cost. It's just things were going up exponentially faster than they could keep up with. So now I've noticed that our in-house folks are getting much better at giving us projected costs because they've kind of caught up with the times dealing with the contractors and seeing how these costs have gone up so much. So, but yeah, people are pretty upset. I mean, our email box is full and people are having a hard time understanding why we're spending this kind of money. You know, we're kind of at a point in the project where we've spent a lot of money on it, scoping it and in the design phase of it. So if we walk away now, we're going to be leaving a chunk of money on the table. But from what I'm hearing, a lot of people are more than willing to do that, if it makes sense.
Well, you know? Let's look at it another way. What are the operational costs of the new versus the old? Is there savings?
And I don't know the answer to that. I would venture to say there's maybe some in energy because it's probably going to be more energy efficient.
I'd be really looking like at that either of a justification or a non-justification. What will this save me over the long term of maintenance, energy? I mean, what are the cost operational differences?
Right. Yeah, as opposed to just having a new shiny building.
Yeah.
One of the things that really drives me crazy, I started speaking to it publicly at either the last assembly meeting or one of the work sessions, but this term deferred maintenance drives me absolutely bonkers.
You mean stuff that hasn't been done?
Right. So here it is. If we have deferred maintenance, meaning our buildings are falling apart,
yeah,
that means we don't take care of our current buildings.
Yeah.
So what makes you think that if you build a new $33 million building, you're going to take care of it?
You know, Brett, I've always liked since I met you how you think. I really appreciate that. That's why I couldn't wait to get a sane person, unquote, from the Borough Assembly on the radio with me.
Well, we have buildings on the East Coast,
mm-hmm,
that are over 200 years old. 200 years old. They're in perfect operating condition. Why? Because people took care of the buildings, whether it was individual people or whether it was government entities, all up and down the Eastern Seaboard. There are 200-year-old buildings.
I brought up how Mayor Luke Hopkins, his philosophy was have the state of Alaska capital budget pay for those items, like the Nolwenn Library roof. I mean, for 5-6 years, he wouldn't put the funding in because he wanted the state legislature to pay for it.
Well, and hence our deferred maintenance problem.
Yeah.
Because, back in the day, we relied on the state. This is why we have so much stuff here in the borough. We relied on the state for it, but now we can't take care of it.
Yeah, but your first year, you started addressing it with the KIP.
Mm-hmm.
Your first year, everyone got together and you put together an assembly ordinance that says 10% of our revenue comes in to the KIP for maintenance and new construction. Therefore, we have a designated amount of funding to take care of our stuff versus everything's new, ask the state to fund maintenance, repair, things like that.
Yep, and that's fine if you follow through with that. But, in the past, we haven't done that.
So, and you're looking at building shiny new things.
Right, and I just don't know whether we can take care of those things. So,
ready for a phone call?
Yeah, sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Assemblymember Brett Roderman, and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
And I met Brett a few times and been over to his business. But my question is, I haven't been keeping up on this as much as I usually do, but, $33 million does seem like a lot of money. I don't have any pets. But anyway, what I'm wondering is not just with this project, and I agree, people are moving out. We got to start thinking of downsizing instead of growing. But nonetheless, we do need a new animal shelter. But I'm curious, when something like this is a borough project, right? So it's going to be moved to a new location, but isn't the old location worth something on the open market? I mean, I think the borough kind of holds on to too much land that they could just put up for sale, especially if it's downsized. But, $33 million is a lot of money, but what if they could sell the old place for $10 million? But, I just don't know how that works. I'll hang up and listen to both your comments on that.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, and that's certainly been talked about. The old property, it's most likely it's going to be put on the chopping block, and what it would be sold for, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It is a very valuable piece of property, so I do think we would recuperate quite a bit in that. And certainly, there have been more discussions on the assembly about what we're doing with our land management here in the borough. What could we be doing to sell more of our land or lease more of our land, try to generate more revenue from our land? But say we do sell the old structure for $10 million. One other thing to think about is how much would it cost to completely revamp our current shelter, seeing as how it's on a very valuable piece of property. Wouldn't that be worth, you know, investing and revamping it? But even if we did, say we get $10 million back, we still just spent $23 million.
You're not going to get $10 million.
And I don't think you're going to get $10 million for that. And we're talking to somebody in real estate. Now we're listening to somebody in real estate. So, you know, because somebody's going to have to do something pretty major with that building.
Your most valuable thing there is your...
The land.
Land and the pad.
Right. That's it. They might just demolish the whole building.
That's what will happen.
So you're going to get, realistically, you're going to get maybe a couple of million bucks for it. But even if you did get 10, we still just spent $23 million.
You know, if a contractor can go in and revamp it for their needs, that's about the only thing I can think of. And it's a 2 to 4, right. not a 10. That is not a 10.
Yeah, no.
That's a... $10 million.
And most of that is in the ground.
Yeah.
You know, the ground, that's very valuable real estate right there for commercial real estate. So,
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
So how's your memory? Can you remember this name? It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. It's pretty simple, but it's a name you want to be familiar with. You see, good plumbers who can get to your problem quickly and do a top-quality job, fixing it all at a reasonable price, well, let's simply say they're scarce. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical is quick to the problem, and they're quick to the solution. And when you have no heat, or you have a bad plumbing leak, your HVAC isn't working, or your pipes are frozen, you want your problem fixed. So who do you call? I told you to remember the name. It's Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Boilers and water heaters, snow melt systems, of course, drain cleaning. They also own Victory Drains. And you'd be surprised how much more. So look, you don't have to try to remember the phone number. Just remember the name and look it up from there. One more time now. Say it with me. Living Waters. Right. Living Waters Plumbing and Mechanical. Okay, well done.
Dispensaries come and dispensaries go, but the one that's risen to the top is the Tanana Herb Company, centrally located right off Wells Street in the Railroad Industrial Area, with an amazing retail shop with edibles, concentrates, along with more than 40 strains of flower in-house, and just a $1 ATM fee. Really? They also offer a huge deli and great weekly deals, like their six-pack Tuesdays with 6 half-gram joints for just $20. Make sure to get in on their dollar-for-dollar rewards program and score some awesome swag while you're there. It's all at the Tanana Herb Company, keeping it local. Helping Fairbanks chill out since 2016. License number 14467.
Marijuana has intoxicating effects and may be habit-forming and addictive. Marijuana impairs concentration, coordination, and judgment. Do not operate a vehicle or machinery under its influence. There are health risks associated with consumption of marijuana. For use only by adults 21 or older, keep out of reach of children. Marijuana should not be used by women who are pregnant or breastfeeding.
KFAR weather.
34 this afternoon under cloudy skies, northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. 12 tonight. Daytime highs approaching 34 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Cloudy skies expected Thursday. Decreasing clouds by Friday. Upper 30s Thursday. Low 40s by Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Pruse in the studio here with Brett Roman, Assemblyman, serving in interesting times.
Yes.
How's that going for you?
Well, I mean, honestly, believe it or not, I actually enjoy it, which probably proves that I'm clinically insane. Of course, I kind of figured I was well on that way when I decided to run for public office. But now that I enjoy it,
you need a higher level of entertainment.
I think so. But no, I do actually enjoy being part of the process, and I find it fascinating. And it's fun to learn. It's fun to learn. I'm learning stuff all the time. You know, I'm at about a year and a half into this, and I think probably by the end of, you know, my term here, I'll probably be just getting a handle on things, you know, how all this ties together. But it is a fascinating process.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. At your last meeting, you did the 20% tobacco tax. Mm-hmm. You voted against that.
I did.
And what you did was that overlays Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. And one of our city council members, Lonnie Marnie, talked personally with Scott Crass. And Scott, it's his bill, and he was supposed to make an amendment to exclude the city limits from this.
Right.
And Scott purposely did not do that. So now we don't trust Scott Crass's words anymore.
Yeah, I was shocked. I know it had been talked about. That was certainly one of my hang-ups with that, because I could see that that was going to put a big hurting on the folks inside the city limits.
Yeah.
40% is, that's huge. But again, I've just always been a big person. I definitely spoke to it at that assembly meeting, is that we just cannot legislate human behavior. It just cannot be done. And I don't believe you can tax human behavior as well.
And so what happens now, it's 20% outside the borough and 40% right. inside the city.
Right.
Now, I have to ask a question. Is what you did legal?
Interesting.
Yeah. Is what you did legal? Can you impose a different tax on the city limits versus what you're going to be imposing, what will be imposed?
It's an interesting question.
And then the two locations that will prosper is at the intersection of University Avenue and College Road,
mm-hmm.
the Safeway store there. So you're looking at what? Albertsons.
Mm-hmm.
That's the closest to the city limits. Or the Arctic Loop Region Corporation, they own the sourdough fuel mm-hmm. on Farmers Loop.
Right. Yeah.
Those are the two closest locations to the city limits that are still only 20%.
Right.
Now, we took in, we increased in 1 year in January, when we started this in January, we basically doubled our sales taxes in cigarettes, $100,000 gain. But since we're under the tax cap, that was all taken into account where we dropped the real estate tax by $500,000.
Right.
That's what we're looking at. So now, is this going to force us to, since we're going to lose, the most likely to lose revenue, will this force us to increase the real estate taxes?
Right.
Was that discussed?
Yeah. And there you go. I think you just proved my point. You cannot tax human behavior. If in fact this was going to curb human behavior, your tax revenue wouldn't have doubled.
Yeah.
So obviously you didn't drop any usage, and that's basically how this was being sold. I didn't speak to it at the assembly meeting. I'll say it here because we're amongst friends and maybe a few enemies out there. But honestly, I think I could have voted for this if it was presented to me honestly.
Yeah.
Just tell me you want more money.
I was going to bring that up.
And I might vote yes.
Yeah.
But you hid it behind the children.
Yeah.
You're going to save the children. You're not going to save the kids. Kids are going to get their hands on this stuff no matter what. And I said it at the assembly meeting. Human beings have an amazing ability and propensity to destroy their lives. It's just human nature.
Yeah.
They're going to do it with cigarettes. They're going to do it with alcohol. They're going to do it with pornography.
Marijuana.
They're
going to
do it with drugs.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. It's human nature to do it. And you'd have to tax it to the point where absolutely nobody
can
touch it.
And since you came into the city limits with another 20%, this to me was all about the money.
This was all about the money.
Yeah, and be honest about it, Scott Crass.
Yeah,
this was all about the money.
Yeah, I think if folks would have made that argument that night, I might have been more apt to vote for it.
I have to look at it and say, why didn't the mayor veto it?
I don't know. I don't
backbone
know.
Issue.
Could be, or could be just the tax revenue. I mean,
exactly.
Obviously.
Exactly. All about the money and no backbone.
Yeah.
What's the money?
But the extra, I think that was projected that we might bring in an extra, I believe, $1.7 million. $1.7 million is not going to fix our budget problems. It's certainly not going to fix the school board's issues. So anyway, I don't know. It was kind of a no sell for me right out of the chute, because I pretty much knew what it was really about. But the long and the short of it is, you cannot legislate human behavior. It just can't.
No.
We've been trying to do it for eons. It just doesn't work.
Yeah. And then, I was down in Juneau with Mayor Bryce Ward, and I felt so sorry for him, because he's down there when you just voted to have a special election. To raise $10 million. You, this came out and you found $12.5 million of money you didn't have. You didn't know you have. Mm. You are building, you just voted to put in a $33 million animal shelter. And you're, and the number one thing they're doing down there is asking the state legislator for education funding.
Yeah.
It's just, those other three made the fourth one. Made your priority look really bad.
Right, and like I said, this dog shelter issue has really taken front and center stage, right along with, you know, the potential school closures and everything. It's just, it stirred up a lot of emotion, but more than, I shouldn't say more than emotion. Emotion tends to rule the day. That's something I try to take out of the equation, but it has stirred up some really good arguments. You know, we've gotten some emails with some folks with some really good points and really good arguments. And I don't think the debate is over yet. I mean, we are just entering the budget season. So this is not a done deal. Things can still be changed and folks can still put bugs in our ear and they can still politic for this stuff. So It's not a done deal. Our budget isn't set. We just began the budget process basically two meetings ago. We get the interim stuff that we kind of work up to, but coming up here next month, that entire month is budget. Budget work session. Our Saturdays are gone all day Saturday.
And 70% of your job as an assemblyman is all about the budget.
It's all about the budget, right? Yeah. And we have to go through every single line item, and it's a grueling task.
It's interesting the fights you have over $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every penny's looked at.
Every penny is looked at, and you know, sometimes, you know, you kind of wonder, why are we quibbling over this $1,000 or $10,000 here? Well, at the end of the day, when you get to the end of the process, mm-hmm. when you're dealing with a three-ring binder that's 6 inches thick, hey, at the end of the day, all those $1,000 bills start to add up into real money here. And we're not talking about a state's budget here. We're talking about the borough's budget. It's you know,
80% of your revenue comes from real estate taxes.
Right, and most of that revenue comes from our businesses. So here, this tax is a perfect example. We've got this tobacco tax. Now we have, if we're going to raise, you know, this
mill rate,
once again, you voted to tax yourself twice. You're going to get taxed on your personal income, and then every product and service you purchase here is going to go up because our businesses pay the lion's share of that because your house is worth $300,000 or $400,000. So you're going to pay $300 or $400 more. But most of the shops and the businesses you walk into, their shops are worth $3, $4, $5 million, $30 million, $50 million. You're talking about serious tax money that has to be recuperated. Those businesses aren't paying for that property tax.
They're passing it on.
They're passing it on to the consumer. So
higher service cost.
Yes. So you're just, all you're doing is taxing yourself twice.
Yeah.
So be careful. Do your homework on this. Understand the tax cap. Understand how it works. Understand how our budget works. You know, and a lot of people don't. And I'll admit, I was one of them. Before I got into this, I thought I had a pretty good handle on how all this worked. Boy, you don't have a clue until you dive into this, you know.
True. Very true. Fairbanks, we are going to roll into a commercial break here. Obviously, Melissa Burnett is putting on her bumper music. It's Pink Floyd, Run Like Hell. And I can always tell the difference between her and Glenn, or, you know, the theoretical versus the good rock and roll from Melissa. So Fairbanks, we're going to take some time for some bumper music, some Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin speaking today at a meeting of Ukraine Defense Contact Group in Ramstein, Germany.
I leave here today fully determined to keep U.S. security assistance and ammunition flowing. And that's a matter of survival and sovereignty for Ukraine. And it's a matter of honor and security for America.
The U.S. recently announcing an additional $300 million worth of military assistance to Ukraine, ammunition, air defenses, artillery rounds, all included in that. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre talking about the impending Israeli invasion of Rafah and the need for more aid in the Gaza Strip.
We are doing everything that we can to get that hostage deal. We understand what's happening in Gaza. There's a humanitarian crisis that innocent Palestinians are dealing with. And so obviously we're very concerned about that.
Teams from both the U.S. and Israel are going to meet in Washington to discuss how to move forward in Gaza. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Two groups looking to develop a large-scale copper and gold mine in western Alaska sued the federal government in hopes of restarting mine development. KTVF Channel 11 reports in a statement released, Northern Dynasty Minerals Limited said it was filing two separate legal actions with the Pebble Partnership against the Environmental Protection Agency. Northern Dynasty said that its lawsuit is centered around the EPA veto that put a stop to future mining prospects. The statement read that, quote, the veto violated the law and was arbitrary and capricious. A second court filing against the EPA states that the federal government took unconstitutional action in taking their property. The Bristol Bay watershed houses the world's largest wild salmon fishery and has seen fluctuations through decades of commercial fishing. The region, which stretches to about 40,000 square miles, generates millions of dollars in salmon sales. A 2014 EPA report said over 14,000 full and part-time workers are employed in the industry, and in 2019, the EPA estimated the total economic value of the watershed at over $2.2 billion.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
This is Ann with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, thanking you for your support of your local Interior Alaska Food Bank. Because of you, we have had 4 decades of collecting local surplus food to give to those in need. The volunteer hours that you have given, the food that you've donated, and the cash that you have shared has helped tens of thousands of your local neighbors who woke up hungry to go to bed with full bellies. You make a difference in this community, one meal at a time. Thank you for your support of the Fairbanks Community Food Bank.
Ooma.
What was that?
That is Business Phone Bliss with the Ooma Cloud Phone System. It handles all our voice, video, and messaging needs.
You sound very...
calm. I am. Ooma has everything I need to run my business more efficiently, like virtual receptionist, call routing, and video conferencing. And it starts at just $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Nice. Find your business comm at ooma.com/radio.
Getting your biggest tax refund from Jackson Hewitt can lead to some spirited reactions.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Jackson Hewitt is so sure they'll get you your biggest refund that if they don't, you get your money back plus $100.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Switch to Jackson Hewitt and we'll beat what you paid last year, even if you filed online.
Yeah!
Ain't nothing to it. Switch to Jackson Hewitt and pay less for tax prep, guaranteed. Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have another government official in the studio with me. I have both Brett Roderman of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and I have Melissa Burnett of the school board. Going to Brett first, we have an election that's happening on May 7th. So let's just look at worst case scenario. Last night, SB 140 got vetoed.
Yep.
And I just don't perceive that your budget will be able to be increased for 2024-2025 by an appreciation of the voter, appreciation rate of the voters to increase it by $10 million, your assessed values or your taxable amount. What's the borough looking at? I mean, my God, you have so many variables.
There's a lot of variables there. So right now, the gap is either going to have to be filled with fund balance, because of course government can't call a savings account a savings account. We have to name it something special, so we have to call it fund balance.
What's your minimum fund balance supposed to be?
Oh, you just had to ask, didn't you? You're going to put me on. You saved those questions.
You brought up the word fund balance. You brought up that big, word. Yeah.
And I know there is a certain percentage that we are supposed to keep in there. And honestly, I can't remember the exact number.
But Fairbanks is 20% of your annual budget.
I believe ours is something to that effect as well. But you always have
the fund balance is you have more than that,
right?
Usually,
right. So it's either going to have to come from that, or it's going to have to come from, we're going to have to cut services, drastically cut services. And the mayor's argument all along, and it's a valid argument, is it's not sustainable. We have to come up with something that's sustainable. So the answer, what is the answer to that?
Well, hold it. My answer to the mayor would be, this is your sixth budget. You've had six budgets to be sustainable. Where were you at five budgets ago?
Yeah, and I think the problem is we've got too much on our plate in the borough. Again, this goes back to our deferred maintenance thing, and we were talking about the buildings earlier, and we've got all these aging buildings. And, you were talking about Luke saying, mm-hmm. Well, let's get the state to pay for it. Well, back in the good old days, that's how we got all this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? That goose is gone. And the golden egg are gone.
And those buildings are all 40 years old.
And they're all 40 to 50 years old. And you look at a building like Mary Cy that's, I believe, 60 now. And
the Carlson Center that now you operate.
That now we operate that could be argued nobody ever wanted. That's always a fun argument. So, yeah, I mean, this borough just kept growing and growing and growing. That's the problem with government, is it just tends to grow like this, and we want more and bigger things like this bigger and better quote-unquote animal shelter, but we never look at the long-term costs. We never look at what it's going to cost to heat it. Somebody was arguing with me that this aquatic center, this $200 million, aquatic center, that's not fair. The aquatic center is $100 million, but I'm talking about the entire complex they want to build over by the Big Dipper. So my argument to somebody the other night was, okay, great. So let's say that Uncle Joe writes us a check for $200 million today, and we go build this giant facility over at the Big Dipper. And my question to them was, how do you heat it?
What's your annual operating cost?
How do you light it?
How many more employees do you have to bring in?
That's right. We couldn't even afford the heat and lights. We literally couldn't pay for the heat and lights. So in my opinion, in the not-too-distant future, some big decisions are going to have to be made. Those decisions are, stay tuned.
Actually, we all have a view. Ready for a phone call, both of you?
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with Melissa Burnett and Brett Ratterman, and your name is?
Hey, this is Craig, Dave. How are you?
Good, Craig. How are you doing?
Good. I just had a question for Brett. So what is the proposed budget deficit for the borough?
For the borough?
Yeah.
There's no proposed budget deficit.
There is no proposed budget deficit. We have to have a balanced budget. There is no proposed deficit.
What is the estimated negative? Wasn't it $28 million? School. I'm sorry.
That's for the school district. But yes, for the school district, that the estimated budget or deficit is $28 million. Dollars. Yes.
Okay. And how much is the cost of the animal shelter?
$33 million. Right now, without a cost overrun.
That's all I got. Thanks.
We love you, Combo.
you know, spoken so eloquently and quickly.
That's all you need to say.
Yeah.
That's all you need to say.
So I'm gonna kind of call Craig out. So I actually tried to convince Craig to run for borough assembly, but
he's not as.
Well, shortly after he recovered from his aneurysm,
and he pulled.
He said no.
And he put the gun back in his pocket.
Right. Yes. It was a definitive no.
He had to take a breath for a second.
Yeah, the aneurysm, heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weapon of mass destruction issue.
I imagine that had some expletives, knowing Craig.
Well, we'll keep that amongst friends.
Yeah.
I remember asking him about a decade ago to run for state house, and
And, you know, after I got my head out of my backside pulled, I never asked him that question again.
Right.
The man has too much common sense to end up somewhere like that.
And he does a great job with how he does things.
Yes.
If you look at what he does and his involvement. It's not that he, you know, why would I have to go through the pain and suffering of being an elected official?
Yeah, why take somebody that's effective at doing something and make them ineffective?
Yeah.
Put them in a system that's ineffective.
That's a bureaucracy.
That's right.
He is not in a bureaucracy.
That's right. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, man. So the state legislature just vetoed a funding aspect. And it doesn't surprise me, but also at the same time, even if the veto is not over, even if the veto is overridden, the governor was going to X out a lot of the
The appropriations would have been cut.
Yeah, so you know, it's a moot point. Again, you're the funding source for the school board, mm-hmm. a large portion of it. Where do you go from here? I mean, again, all these things are, Brett, are coming at you, and you know,
I know where my board wants to go.
Yeah. So should be interesting.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. And, you know, the voters are going to have to decide part of this question, too. You know, May 7th.
You know, what if the voters say no?
Well, then.
Most likely, high probability.
I believe there's a high probability they will say no. That this tax cap has been challenged in the past. It's pretty much always, it's gone down in a blaze of glory.
It's always redone.
Yeah. Now sometimes these votes are close. You know, when this cap has been challenged. You know, mm-hmm. during a normal election time, which I tried to push for, I tried to defer this vote until October because then I knew it was going to get voted down.
Yeah.
But in a special election, the vote is closer. So please, anybody, if you guys,
and what that does is this makes the populace. More mad.
Definitely. And boy, people got really upset about this, that it was going to be challenged again.
You're trying to pull a fast one. Mm-hmm. Within 6 months of the election, within 4 months of the election, this is going to be on the ballot anyway.
Right.
And what are you doing to us? And then if it's increased, you go in and adjust your budget.
Yep. And I firmly believe it's going to get voted down, and that's what's going to have to happen. We're going to have to go in and adjust, and we're going to have to look for efficiencies, and then my personal opinion is it's going to have to come from savings.
So what can the Borough Assembly do for Ms. Burnett?
That's a
good question. That's a million-dollar question.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, Brett, but...
Well, it's honestly... So, you know, the school board, we were in a meeting till about 1:15 a.m. last night.
And what's my theory about meetings?
Nothing good gets done after 10 p.m.
And that's right.
It got pretty hairy there. It's not easy, the things that we are now faced with the veto of SB 140. We knew that the veto was going to come. And, you know, the override was very close. Mm-hmm. Just one vote. That's all it was. And so now we have to look at where do we go? How do we handle this? In my opinion, the school district now needs to do what they need to do, and we need to get to work. We need to make the hard decisions and the hard cuts. But at the same time, there is a bill that's been sitting in House Education Committee for about 2 years now. And if we're looking to do something for our schools, and we want to, one, honor what the governor has said and done, and then, two, do what's right for districts. House Bill 132, it's very important that I think we start raising awareness of this bill and start getting some movement on this.
What does House Bill 132 do?
So House Bill 132 is called an act relating to technical education and apprenticeships relating to awarding course credit for activities. It's got this big old long...
Yeah, yeah.
I would definitely recommend
attach any funding in it you need.
Yeah. So first off, what it is it is a CTC... or a CEC, Career Technical Education, CTE, there we go. So many abbreviations in the district, and I'm tired.
So you get the blue collars in.
Yeah, so you get the blue collars in, right? So this is a a bill to support education for career technical education. But at the same time, this bill also adopts regulations and supports kids who want to go to college. So you're knocking out the blue collars, you're knocking out the college-bound children. And then this is also taking charters and giving that control to the governor like he would like for them to oversee and facilitate the charter schools. So that gives that to the government. And then this also, it gives districts an opportunity to invest in careers, to invest in futures, and you can attach funding for this. There's so many areas in here that you could attach a 340 BSA. You could attach transportation.
And if you attach a 340 BSA into this, what you've done is you've put in a permanent BSA if it passes the governor without a veto.
Yes.
And it would likely do that if he put in the funding for the charter schools.
Yes.
And the teacher bonuses.
Yes,
for
and the teacher bonuses. But so another great thing about this bill too that I didn't want to pass by is there has been a big outcry from the legislators about reporting requirements from districts. Mm-hmm. They would like to see districts have like the borough assembly did, that online checkbook. They would like to have something there that will show what the districts are doing, where the money is going, what they're spending it on. And that's what this does. A report to the legislature is in this bill. So you've got your reporting requirements. You've got your charter school stuff. You could put the appropriations in there for your teachers and for the BSA. And, I mean, you've kind of got a perfect bill right here that's just been sitting.
You know, if this was on at the very end of the session, if I was the governor, I'd bring them all back for this bill.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'd have a special session.
Yeah.
1 week. Let's get this done.
Absolutely.
This does it for you.
This does that.
And where are they learning this from?
From me.
That's right. Because why?
Because this is something we need to do. We need to look at alternatives for our districts that isn't also putting a burden on the boroughs and our taxpayers.
I always look at things and say, okay, look at all your alternatives. And I'm looking at Brett saying, okay, this failed. This doesn't pass. This doesn't pass. What's next? You just announced next.
Yes, This is what's next. We get behind House Bill 132.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Total Toyo's all about Toyo stoves, but that's not all they are. They also know and service gas stoves, wood stoves, and pellet stoves. If you ask me,
what is an EPA certification and how does it affect my choice of wood stove? Or why would the metal on the inside of my pellet stove begin to flake?
I can't answer those questions, but Total Toyo would know. So if you have heating questions for your home, you need to ask Total Toyo. If you're looking to buy, need your stove service, or have questions about Toyo stoves, gas stoves, wood stoves, or pellet stoves, you need Total Toyo. Some amazing things happened back in 1904. The first underground line of the New York City subway opened, the U.S. Army engineers began work on the Panama Canal, and here in Fairbanks, Samson Hardware opened their doors for the very first time. Since then, Samson Hardware has become an institution because they have helped Fairbanks with their building and home project from start to finish. Stop by today and let them help you. Before you start a project, see your locally owned hardware store, celebrating 120 years. Samson Hardware.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything? On 50-50 Fridays. Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Weather brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoors. Your next adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle. It's Frontier Outfitters.
KFAR Weather.
Mainly cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 34. Northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 12. Tonight, mainly clear skies. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, highs level off around 34. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Assemblyman Brett Roederman and School Board Member Melissa Burnett in the studio with me. And here's something I want you to appreciate. The time commitment that these two people put into a meeting. Melissa, what time did you adjourn last night?
1 a.m.
Brett, your last executive session, and how? What? 1 o'clock or 1:30 a.m.?
I think we adjourned at 1:40, but it's pretty routine for us to go.
And do you think a person can just get home?
No.
And just go right to bed?
No. I was up till about 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oftentimes, I don't even go to bed. I'm so keyed up after a meeting, it's hard to just come down and then go to bed. And if I go to bed, I just lay there staring at the ceiling.
Exactly. You got 10,000 things going through your mind.
I honestly should have just did what Brett does, right, and not go to sleep, because I feel like I'm now dragging because, like, I laid down for like 2.5 hours and then got up and went to work.
Mm-hmm.
So came here. It's like, it's hard. It's, you know, it's lucky you. Lucky you, sir, Mr. Mayor.
Yeah.
I'm very fortunate indeed.
You know, I will say, Our typical meetings for the school board don't usually go this long, you know. There's rarely a time that we're in a meeting past 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think 11 has been kind of our, especially during budget, 11 p.m. has been about what we go to. But last night, I mean, we're in the midst of some heavy stuff, and the veto came through, and we had some hard stuff to slash through last night. And so, you know, it was a hard night, and tonight's going to be even harder.
It's not only the time frame of the meeting,
yeah,
but how long you've been in a meeting.
Yeah.
Right.
That gets hard, too.
Yeah, and, you know, I walked into an executive session yesterday, and I said, our time limit on this is an hour and a half.
Yeah.
One subject, hour and a half. After that, it doesn't matter if we haven't agreed to anything or a direction. We'll come back.
Yeah.
But it's an hour and a half. That way, for 1 hour and a half, we focus.
Well, and that was, I think that was, so about 11:45. No, I think it was about 11:45 last night, they finally gave me the mic, and I commented on that, and I said, okay, look, we have been in a meeting now for 5 hours and we have accomplished absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
The bombshell went off. It did. I blew up and I said, let's get to work. I didn't come here to just go home and dismiss this. Let's get to work. And in that last hour and 20 minutes, we did more work than we did all night.
Ready for a phone call?
Yep.
Good morning. You're on Problem Corner with Assemblyman Brett Roederman and Borough School Board Member Melissa Burnett, and your name is?
Mark, in care of the Alaska Freedom Council. I want to wish you all a good morning, David.
Good morning, Mark.
Yes, it was a pleasure to see you at the convention here in Fairbanks, and wish all the GOP people, a happy 140th anniversary of the Grand Old Party founded in 1854 as a fighting party. Anti-slavery.
Do you have a question for my two guests?
Well, like I said, since you're all there, the city and the borough both passed resolutions claiming this 90%, but they never followed up on it. And back in 97, the assembly was told austere economic times are ahead. Now, you can spend $34-35 million for that dog kennel, but if things go in a bad direction, there might not be any dogs to house. In other words, austere economic times are coming, and the Interiorite people need to be prepared. Thank you, David.
Thank you very much, Mark. As I told you this weekend, I appreciate when you call in. I really do, and I encourage you to call in at any time, because I'm a very big 90-10 proponent, and you brought it up at our Republican convention, and I so appreciated that, and we never stopped bringing that up.
9010 as our state compact pact directed. Anyway, so with that, Melissa Burnett, House Bill 132.
House Bill 132.
That's the answer.
I think it is. It's at this point trying to redo a whole new bill, I think, is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
We shouldn't. And 140 was very messy. If the governor
it started out as an internet bill, yeah.
And if that's what the governor wants, then that internet bill, that just needs to be a standalone thing.
Yeah.
Do that. And, you know, discussions with you and other people, I was very angry yesterday. I won't hide from that fact. I was very angry, especially right after the veto. But, you know, given some time to calm down and reflect and think about this, you know, it was a very messy bill, and it wasn't a funding bill. It was a policy bill. And what we need is funding. We need a funding bill, right? Something that benefits what needs to be benefited.
Mm-hmm.
And House Bill 132 does that for schools. So, and you're putting focus on good things such as career technical education, charter schools. You're getting reporting requirements put in there. You're giving the charters to the governor, to the government, so that they can, if they want to build more, they can build more. They want to oversee that, they get to oversee that. And that still also allows, so the whole adding the person in deed, that was actually language that I had come up with. I thought it would be a great person to have there, somebody that knew charter schools and could help. And so this also allows for that, if that was the direction the governor wanted to go. If he doesn't, that's cool. It still gives him that control back to oversee it himself.
Sorry for interrupting.
No, you're good.
I don't want you two to get a big ego with what I'm about to say. You both represent sanity in government.
We try.
Which is very rare.
It's just doing what's right.
Yeah.
It's trying to find solutions that don't hurt our people, that don't hurt our students,
yeah,
that benefit Alaska, that benefit our communities.
And doesn't put special interest first.
Right. No special interest first.
And SB 140, boy, was that an NEA special interest bill?
It kind of was. It really, truly was. I liked the BSA portion of it.
Yeah.
I liked the transportation portion. But when they cut those teacher stipends, it was very clear what that bill was.
And they cut out the homeschooling, but the charter schools too.
Yeah.
Very telling.
When that happened, I flipped a little bit on SB 140 when they cut that teacher stipend. And I even actually said that to Senator Kawasaki. I said, I can't believe the teacher stipends got taken out. That's all the governor wanted. And he called me a nut. He said I was nutty. That was absolutely insane that I would support teacher stipends. I'm like, hang on a second. I'm a business type of person. That stipends work. Bonuses work. These things, you know?
That's how we're retaining and recruiting police officers with stipends, bonuses.
I get that it's not a complete answer for their deferred, or what is it, their benefits that they want, right?
Yep.
Their defined benefits. Sure, okay. It's not that, but it is an incentive.
We'll have 1 minute left. We'll start with Mr. Roderman.
Well, the bigger picture here, I try not to get all tied up in these House bills and Senate bills.
Yeah.
The reason is, it's not a permanent fix.
Yeah.
We need to start thinking bigger, you know, and come up with a fix for this whole thing. Because when you really dive into how this school funding thing works between the borough and the school district
it's
and the state,
up.
It is a complete and utter train wreck. And it pits too many people against each other. It pits the citizens of this community against the school board, against the assembly, against the state. It pits us against the school board. It's just a mess. There's a bigger solution out here. We need bigger thinking than this. But if this bill can get us through the next couple of years, I'm all for it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Final 30 seconds.
No, I agree with what Mr. Roderman here said 100%. You know, we do need to think about the bigger picture and where we go from here, but this helps.
Fairbanks, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed two exceptional people in local government on the radio with you, with a lot of issues out there and very good answers and very good discussion, and I will see you tomorrow.